So this is John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, at the back, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" At this, she turned round and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realise it was Jesus. He asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is God looking for?"
"They have taken my Lord away. Jesus, you have carried him somewhere. Tell me where you placed him. I am going."
Jesus said to her,
"Mary."
She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What was the emotions of Mary and his mother? I want you to tell me. So on your tables, you've got blue cards. And I love you around your table again to talk. What are the different emotions that they would have been feeling? And then to write three of those different emotions on the three cards. And then someone from the table, come and stick them on this wall here. So I want a wall of emotions. So have a chat, carry on eating and drinking. Some of these words: happy again, joy and surprise, joy. Excited, happy, surprise, joy, elation, gratitude, disbelief. Those are all good words. Joy, hope, excited, dawning hope, relief, amazement, disbelief, fear. That's interesting. Who put fear? Fear for this side. James, why fear? Okay. Still uncertain. Do we have confusion? Confusion. Do we have confusion? You could have had confusion over here as well, I would imagine. Yeah. So I think have a look at those two sets of words. I'll get out of the way. I think right there is a visual presentation of the good news of the tomb. There is the movement for Friday from all this disappointment and shock and anger and grief and fear. But the good news on Sunday morning with the empty tomb is all that over there. That movement from here to here. The good news of the empty tomb is the movement from the cross to the empty tomb. It's the movement from Friday to Sunday. It's the movement from being separated from God to be reconciled and in a renewed relationship with God. The movement from having been orphans until being adopted children and loved by them. Now, in the Old Testament, in the Old Law, what you did to get reconciled and be forgiven is that you did a sacrifice. You'd go to the temple, the church, and you'd make a sacrifice for your sins and the bad things that you had done. And that would resolve you of everything that you'd done previously and make you new with God. But because we're all going to fail, we all get it wrong, we've got to keep on doing that. But the good news of the Easter weekend is that Jesus was that sacrifice for each one of us. And as Paul puts it in his letters, Christ did it once for all. We don't need to keep going back and making another sacrifice and being restored into relationship. Christ did it once and for all. And when Jesus died on the cross and cried out, "It is finished," it was at that moment Jesus took upon himself the whole of the brokenness of humanity. At that moment, Jesus took all the past, the present and the future, sorrow and rebellion and pain and anger and confusion and unbelieving and heartbreak, depression of sorrow and loneliness and despair. At that moment, Jesus took it upon himself and let us go free. Now I need two volunteers. Charlie, come on. This is going to be great. Charlie, and I need one. Come on, Alice. Right. Alice, you stand there. Now, Charlie, fancy being Jesus for a moment? Yeah, good. Alice, you are representing every one of us. Turn the other way. Turn the other way. Step forward, just because I'll destroy some plants otherwise. What life for us so often can be like us with that. Is that heavy, that cloak? Is it heavy? Is it uncomfortable? Yeah. It's a bit strange, isn't it? And it's certainly too big. But that's so much like us with our loneliness and our fear and our anger and our disappointment and our brokenness. And that extends to sort of a form of humanity. But when on Friday Jesus died on the cross, he took that from Alice and from you and from I. And he took it all upon himself on the cross. Once and for all. Well done, Jesus. We're so grateful. Thanks, you two. But what is key for us is that the proof that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was able to be a legitimate sacrifice for us and for you and for me, is not that he died on the cross. For that we need to move from the Friday and the cross to the Sunday morning and the empty tomb. It's the empty tomb that declares that Jesus is the Son of God, because he overcame death, praise God. His death and resurrection together displays what Paul says God reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sin against them. We're now restored into God's family. We're reconciled. We're adopted and his children once again. But I think the challenge for many of us in the Christian world is that we get stuck on Friday. We get stuck at the cross, and we need to go to the cross, but we get stuck there with our pain and our trauma and our disappointment and all our brokenness, where the moment at the cross, where the goodness and compassion and the joy of life is utterly silenced. The cross is violent and uncomfortable. But what we need to do, having been to the cross, is step through the cross and run to the tomb with Mary And that's what we do today. We run to the tomb and discover that death hasn't kept Jesus down. Jesus has overcome death and all those things. Jesus is alive. He overcomes all these things. And the transformation and the good news today of Easter is that movement, that transformation from here at the cross with grief and despair and disappointment. And it's the movement through to Easter Sunday with the joy and the expectation and the hope. Now we know life is hard and it's not always easy, and there are many reasons for that. But each day, you and I as believers are called to go to the cross with all our brokenness and our pain and our upset, but carry on moving, not stay there, the movement over here to the joy of being in the presence of God, knowing the joy and the confidence that we have eternity with Christ. What is unquestionable, I believe, is the good news brings us the unfailing hope of an eternal presence with God because we have been forgiven and have been reconciled. Each one of us are loved and deeply precious to God, and he wants us to flourish. Each day, we need to go to the cross, but we need to move on through the cross to the empty tomb. And we know that's love because God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. The good news of the empty tomb, the good news of Jesus, is not a stationary fact. It's this constant movement from the cross to the empty tomb. It's a living flow of water. Jesus is the living water. Now, I think we've seen something of... I haven't been playing with my PowerPoint. I think we've seen something of the extraordinary news in Holy Week this week in France. And I'm sure you've all been moved for different reasons to the shocking sights of Notre Dame. But there's so much in this. Is there something about the Friday here? The shock, the appalling destruction, the devastation, the violence of this fire breaking the tower, finally crumbling down. But the extraordinary thing, and I'm sure some of you have seen this, is that above all this destruction, which we can experience through an Easter Friday, and where we may see that in our lives, there is the bright, shining cross of Jesus Christ. This particular picture where the smouldering darkness of and blackness of the ashes, the cross still rises. And that is our picture of Easter. The flow from the cross and the destruction, but to the hope of eternal life and freedom. I was struck this morning as we read one of the hymns which someone else had chosen from this morning. But let me read verse 2. If I get my glasses out. But this I know, Jesus heals the brokenhearted and stays our sin and calms our lurking fear and lifts the burden from the heavy laden. For yet the Saviour of the world, is here. Jesus is here. He takes our heaven-laden burdens, and he is alive. So we're going to stop for a moment, and we're going to light the candles. And we're just lighting the candles as a sign of... That's just a reflection of constant flow from Friday to the empty tomb. In a moment of silence, I'm just wondering where in your life, you can see the things that you want to bring to the cross on the Friday, but you want to see that movement to see breakthrough, joy, life and hope. It may be something emotional and things you're struggling with, or it may be a circumstance, or it may be, maybe it is the things that are going on in a place in the world like Sudan, where you want to see and rightly see hope and flourishing and peace. So before we go into prayer, we're just going to have a moment of reflection in our own. Children, you've been amazing at just holding that silence. So let's do that.